required. The front yard setback to the building is an improvement, but it's a variance, 11.3 feet where 12 feet's required. They're gonna, that side yard setback to the elevated pool deck's gonna go away based on the revised plans that they showed us and explained, so that's not a variance. The rear yard setback to the house, 0 feet, because it's over the water, 12 feet's required. The two curb cuts are gonna be 20 feet and 10 feet, where you're allowed 2 9s or 1 18. They're gonna have 30 feet total, 20 and 10. Landscape coverage is at 9.1%, where 25% is required. A front yard swimming pool setback, they're at 3 feet, where 12 feet's required, which is essentially the front yard setback requirement, because pools aren't allowed in the front yard. The side yard setback to the pool is gonna go away. They're gonna move that over and make it, again, as discussed and shown on the revised plans, they're gonna meet that 6 feet on the side yard. The rear yard setback to the pool is 3.5 feet where 6 feet's required. And the fence height in the front yard, in the front yard, you can't have more than 4 feet. And again, we discussed this at length. To the top of the curb, they have a 7.8 foot high fence. Then the style of fence is a privacy fence where an open style's required.
But let's put 8 foot to allow for any grade changes.
We'll make it 8 foot instead of 7.8. And then the street trees can be waived. The conditions I noted, again, I'll start a little backwards. Anything in Mr. Pekarnan's report, unless otherwise modified, any representations made by the applicant during the course of the hearing, subject to any outside approvals that may be necessary. Testimony was that the parking dimensions all comply, so I'll note that. I note the curb cuts are being reduced to 20 and 10. All the downspouts will be directed into the bay. And then for those raised planters that are going to be in front of the fence, they're going to require an encroachment license from the city, so it's subject to that approval. And then, as Roger noted, anything in the public right-of-way, the city has the ability, if necessary, to remove.
Question. Oftentimes when we have landscaping not defined totally, we ask the applicant to go over and work that out, work the final plan out with our planner after you've got all your approvals from the city. Would that be acceptable here? Okay, let's put that in there also.
Show them on the compliance, show landscaping on the compliance plans to be reviewed.
So that
number of shrubs, type of shrubs.
That way, it all, everything's covered and everything's of record.
All right.
Okay. Now, is that complete?
Yes.
Everyone clear in understanding that? Would you like it repeated? Not have a motion.
Nick, I we're not going to do every variance separately. I just framed one big motion. Are you comfortable doing them all at once?
Yeah.
Because
So, just to be cautious, we would ask that the pool variance be a separate vote. Everything other than all together. Hopefully, we'll get the pool, but we don't want to lose the whole application.
Right, and that's that. Okay, so does everyone understand that we're voting on everything except the pool setback? Let's do one vote with, if we have to revisit something.
I think the explanation about the pool was, I don't think anybody understood, but now that we know that it's lower and the fence is going to be where it's at, I think it's better understood.
Yeah. And the concession moving it over is pretty helpful.
Okay. All right. So I need a motion and a second.
I'll need a, are you finished?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make the motion.
We need a second, please.
I'll second.
We have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I support the application. I think that it's a very difficult lot, 18 feet wide. They have a small footprint, roughly a 12 by 10 foyer that's
anchoring this to the ground, and the rest of the design is out of harm's way in a very flood prone area. There's too many positives, I think. The flood compliance, the parking, getting three off street pieces, and then still reducing the curb cut, and then just the curb appeal of this is going to have three large planting areas that I think will help the streetscape in a positive way. And I'll repeat again what I said about us being a waterfront community, and these are our place where architects can sort of show what they can do. And this is another example of that, where our homes or properties that are water based, I think, should get should be allowed to be improved in this manner. So I support the application.
Dave Cook?
I'm going to approve the application. This is one of the most difficult lots in the city to design a building for and give resiliency. They have done one fantastic job in doing that. They've considered all the options. They waited, they put them to the maximum, they've done it, and they've looked at our master plan, and they work within it. When you build properties in these areas, you know how what it takes to do it, design it, you can appreciate it. I've done it. And with that, the style, the architecture, everything is working toward improving this city. And it meets our master plan, but also helps our resiliency, and it's with the neighborhood. And it helps that particular site and gives the opportunity to the city. At some time, if there's changes to that street level, we can do it. So it's created options for us as well. And with that, they've observed all the hardships that are with the narrowness, shallowness of a lot. Their variances are generated, again, by the nature of the waterfront properties that every waterfront lot in the city confronts itself. So the variances conform and are due to those factors. The only measure on the upland area, not the whole lot area. So by the nature of our ordinance, these variances are created. And we cannot penalize our residents for doing, trying to conform and also getting state approvals for their work at the same time. So with that, they try to work within the rules. And the pool, I have to commend them. They tried to work the best they could and give out a design that is best possible. Considering that only somebody could be 10 feet from the pool, 5 feet from the pool, and have the same amount of noise, same amount of anything else, you couldn't tell the difference. And you can't see it. And the front of it is going to be beautified. You won't even know it's there. So I vote yes.
Romans Abbey Hutch.
I also vote in favor of the application. I think this is going to be a very aesthetic improvement street. I am very happy about the curb cut being reduced. The additional parking that's available is fantastic, because basically there's very little parking available. I do have concerns about the pool, but it's not enough to say no to the application. I don't understand, but so be it. So I do vote in favor.
Okay.
Lorraine Salata.
I'm sort of on the same mindset as Roman. My biggest concern looking at this application was the pool, the fence, everything together of setbacks. You've explained it nicely. My mind has put at ease a lot more. I think it's beautiful design, and I think it will enhance that whole corner a little bit more. So I will vote in favor.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. It's amazing upgrades to what's there now. What you see from the street is such a upgrade to there, because they really don't know what's on the other side of the fence. It's amazing what you did with the so little land, and another thing is, here's one of the few projects that didn't go to the maximum height. So fits in with the neighborhood. Won't look out of character. It's great upgrade. The criteria here is meets all the requirements of our master plan.
Mike Leeson?
One of my most favorite things to do in Ventnor is to ride my bike over the bridge and stop and look down the corridor to look at some of the beautiful houses on the water. It's just how Ventnor has changed. If you look at Mr. Carfaglio's house, that used to be a Miami Vice house years ago. And when this house appeared, I felt like it was there. When John Van Dyne built it, I felt like it was there forever, how beautiful it is. I have no doubt that this house next to it is going to equal that. The explanations, the requests are all within. He could have went another floor. You know, it's just riding down that street and just making that left-hand turn with a bicycle, because you're going slower and you get to see more things rather than drive. Just to look at that house and to see another house going to be as nice as that house is an asset to Ventnor. And I'm very proud to live here and see this happen, and I'm in favor of it.
Peter Taco.
I will also vote in favor of the application. I realize that the variances required are tied to the difficulty of that lot. And I'm absolutely certain that if that man over there is building that house, it's going to be a gorgeous house. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Tim Coop.
So when I first reviewed the application, I was tripped up by the curb cut and by the pool. You negotiated and changed the curb cut, so I appreciate that. The pool, while still troubling, is outweighed by the rest of the project. It's going to be a beautiful house, and what you did with a very challenging lot is to be commended. So I also vote for you.
Rick Gaskell.
I vote yes also. There's only so much you can do with that side property. And it's a flood-prone area. I think that what you have presented is a very good application.
You are complete?
Yeah.
You are complete? Mr. Carfaglio, thank you. And you can learn from thank you. Have a great holiday. That's a nice boat.
Yeah.
How you do fishing this year?
That's a gorgeous boat he has. That's a gorgeous, you're right. That's
gorgeous. Yeah. My
yes. Yeah, we're gonna At this time, we have our guest speaker of the evening, Mr. Jim Rotella. And those who don't know him, is one of the most articulate O-plan planners I've ever come across yet. Sure. And he will be sure will make a great presentation this evening on both sites. If you have questions you want to do with during your presentation, or do both, or do the presentation first, so hold the questions to the end.
Both applicants are here.
Right.
They're going to introduce the project.
Right.
We're going to talk about the plan itself.
Right.
And then open up the questions.
That's okay. Great. We'll do questions per presentation rather than both.
Yes.
So there'll be a question and answer period after each application. And so we're not going to combine. So,
I agree. Yeah, keep them separate.
Two different applications completely.
Two different things we're doing. Yeah.
Now, the first though is going to be the Ventnor Professional Campus, That's his sketch. So, let's bring everybody up. Let's get going. And we're all looking forward to hearing these things, by the way.
And Mr. Plachter, once you introduce yourself, not to put you on the spot, but I've never seen it as a problem. But since there's some play between the governing body and this board, Mr. Kriebel's obviously on both boards. Do you see any issue there?
Not at all.
I don't either. Okay. I just didn't want to jam you up if you thought there was. I didn't think so.
And for the record, Mr. Plachter's been doing this almost as long as I have, or longer, maybe. And so he's old as dirt, too. He's getting there.
Yes, I am.
He's still out there surfing now.
He is. Jack, it's welcome to see you again.
Good evening. I'll be very brief. May it please the board. My name is Jack Plachter. I'm from the firm of Fox Rothschild. We have offices in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I represent the applicant or the property owner. And essentially, we're very excited about this project. This is Dave Waxman, and Dave is the managing member of MM Partners and also DHE LLC. He's the property owner. He acquired the Professional Plaza in 2022. Just to give you a little background, he's very excited about this. You know, if you walk by, I mean, I think you guys are residents. I live in Margate. What's really happening in Ventnor is extremely exciting. This is a dead building. This is when you walk by this building, it's a dead building. We'll tell you that it's a zone for office, and since they've owned the building, the vacancy rate's actually increasing. So it does call for some action. If you look at the current zoning, it's zoned MU, which is mixed use. It's one of the only areas that has the MU zoning. The MU zoning permits both office and residential. What we want to do is slightly different. There probably will be a residential component, but in addition to that, we want to do a commercial component because we think that we want to open up the front on Ventnor Avenue, maybe put some plazas out there, landscaping, outdoor cafes, and really liven it up and complement, the already, great development that, because, when you go to Ventnor, it's really changing. There's a whole renaissance thanks to the governing body and obviously members of the planning board. You guys have done a great job. One of the things we wanted to point out is, we heard about the other projects and some of the residents on the other redevelopment project, the large one in town, didn't know anything about the redevelopment project, and they were a little bit critical of the government. So I advised Dave, let's have a community meeting before we even came here. So we got a 200-foot property owners list from your tax assessor, and on December 7th, we actually had a community meeting at Santucci's, and we sent out postcards inviting everybody to Santucci's. We had about, 15 or 20 people, and we had a really nice dialogue. In fact, Dan was there, went back and forth. And there were some concerns. The main concern is, how are you going to handle parking? And we will have to come up with a plan to handle parking, because we know that during the weekends in the summer, parking's a problem. But it's a problem in every seashore community. So the other thing I wanted to say is that Dave is uniquely suited. His company is uniquely suited to do this kind of development. First of all, he is a Ventnor resident. He lives on Cambridge Avenue. His family's lived here for years, so he understands Ventnor.
And Dave has appeared before us telling us that he was going to be buying this property years ago. Just for the record.
Okay.
He was very eloquent in doing that. And thank you for following through.
So, he can tell you, he can speak for himself. I don't want to take a lot of time, but his company kind of specializes in mixed use developments. They've done a lot of stuff in Philly, and I'll just give him, maybe a couple minutes just to introduce himself. And we're going to try to be as brief as possible. I know it's getting a little late.
So, go ahead, Dave. So I'm Dave Waxman. As Jack mentioned, thank you so much for having us here and for consideration of this proposal. So as Jack said, I literally lived two doors down since 2005 on Cambridge. I restored a historic house. And prior to that, spent every summer of my life in Margate and even worked at Delaware Food Market, if you remember that, on Ventnor Ave, right up the street from here. So, it sort of all comes full circle. So when this building became available, when the owner passed away and the children had no interest in it, and kind of were just letting it die, we saw an opportunity. Now, it's also a challenge. The challenge is people work from home now. They don't need office space. As Jack pointed out, we lost Atlantic Care. We lost another doctor. So our vacancy is almost 58%, which is not good. But we bought this knowing it was going to be a challenge. With the opportunity is, as the retail corridor has continued to develop, this could be a real anchor for it. And that's why we feel like if we could introduce some commercial space along the front part of the main building, new landscaping, outdoor seating, up lighting on the building. It's a beautiful building. It's historic. It's been there since the 40s. Everyone knows it. Just, it's a little long in the tooth. And in addition to that, make investments within the inside of that building so that we can backfill it with the office. We did move the med spa, let's face it, from up there into the building. Eve expanded her business and, you know, she's doing really well in there. And so we think if we can make the inside a little more inviting and the outside more inviting, we can backfill the building while introducing residential to the site. It'll only help the corridor. We'll handle parking in a meaningful way. And, you know, as Jack said, our primary business is going into typically rough urban neighborhoods in Philadelphia and creating commercial corridors, bringing in businesses. So to come to a place like this where there's a mature corridor, there's great businesses, there's beautiful homes. I don't want to say it's easy, but it's much easier than the typical stuff that we've had to do in Philadelphia. So, you know, we'll obviously, if this does proceed, we'll be back in front of you later date with an actual concrete plan. And this is really just the first step in that process. And we really appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
The only thing I'd say is that, you know, we did read Jim's study, and we do have our own planner here, but we do agree with his conclusions that it meets at least three of the criteria to have the board recommend to the governing body that it's an area in need of redevelopment. So with that, I think it's probably appropriate, Mr. Chairman, to turn it over to Jim.
Please.
Sure, Diving.
Sure.
I think you having that public meeting was an excellent idea, because yeah, you always got to get the public, the neighbors, to understand what is going to be done.
Right.
Because usually there are gets change. So what you did was really, really good.
You know, we kind of thought that, because we read about the other development, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but there was some criticism because the residents said they didn't know about it. But here they can't say that we told them we were going to be coming in for redevelopment.
And on that, and from our board's perspective, the notices that are required for this hearing tonight, two publications in the newspaper, which I don't know how, and everyone within the redevelopment plan, which is basically just Dave. So they kind of did go over and above sending out notices and had that meeting. Otherwise, there's a good chance, you know.
I think the word transparency is what actually summarize. And the board likes to enhance that and makes to ensure that, if anything, we exceed the requirements.
Right. And I will tell you, we took down everybody's email and, you know, Dave's going to get in touch with him and let him know that, you know, we were here and that kind of stuff. And so they know what's going on.
Everything that happens on this board happens in front of everybody.
Thank you very much.
Sir Tello?
Yep.
You're on.
First, just a little bit of the process so everyone understands. This is really the first phase or the first step of the redevelopment process. And what we're talking about today is really designating this as an area in need of redevelopment. So there is a set criteria that's set by the state of New Jersey. There's eight criteria for an area to be designated as such, and that's what we're going to go over tonight. And if you feel that that this project meets the criteria, then it goes back to the commissioners to designate as a redevelopment area. And then, as the applicant mentioned, it'll come back to you as a redevelopment plan with a lot more detail and for your review, and it will also come back to you as a site plan. So the planning board and the commissioners work in lockstep on this process, and you're going to see more of this project as it moves forward. So this is really a very conceptual stage. You have before you the preliminary investigation report. I'll be brief. In the report, we basically summarize the process and talk about the criteria, the eight criteria. And we found in the case of this project that it meets at least three of the redevelopment criteria. Criteria B is the discontinuation of use of a building previously used for commercial and other uses. And in this case, as the applicant mentioned, you know, not just in Ventnor, but throughout Atlantic County, throughout the country, there's less office use now than there was several years ago. As the applicant mentioned, this site is zoned for mixed use development. So there was already an anticipation that there would be something other than office use at this site. And given that, we find that that criteria is met in this case. The second criteria was criteria D, areas with buildings or improvements which, by reason of dilapidation or obsolescence in this case, is in need of redevelopment. Here we have two schools on this site. They were built in the 1940s. They were great at that time.
Pardon me, can everyone hear? Mm-hmm. Okay, as long as everyone can hear.
Okay. Sorry, they were wonderful at that time, but they are somewhat obsolete now. And obviously their uses, obviously they're not used as a school. They have been used through adaptive reuse as offices. And now even office use is obsolete. So we find that we meet that criteria as well. Third criteria, criteria H, the designation of the delineated area is consistent with smart growth planning principles. And again, in this case, you know, we're talking about a project that can evolve to be a mixed use development. That is a smart planning principle. You see much more mixed use development now than you have in the past. And as the applicant mentioned, it fits the downtown area. It'll be an anchor to what you already have, which is very successful, and continue to build on that success. So given that, we find that this project meets at least three of the criteria. We would only have to meet one criteria in order to qualify. So we have some redundancy. And we would open it up, Chair, to any questions, and then your action.
In your opinion, and you've worked with the city quite a bit, how would you rate this project as a very, very desirable project for this city?
I do. I think it certainly meets the criteria as we laid out, and it's a great opportunity for redevelopment for the community.
Does it, in your opinion, does it fill in and anchor the one end of the commercial district?
Most definitely. As a community is almost entirely built out.
Right.
This is an area where you can do some really interesting things.
So we're repurposing what we have.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say that by going forward and getting this approved as a redevelopment, it adds more planning tools, not only for us at the planning board, but also for the applicant and for the commissioners in terms of determining what we really want and not just wait to get something as a proposal, but we're part of that process to indicate what we really want.
Great point.
Yeah, we'll open it up.
We're going to finish this round and then, sir, we're going to finish this in a few minutes. We're going to ask for your opinions personally.
Anybody in the public?
Okay. Anyway, just want a minute or two more. Board members, any other further questions at this point?
I do. So when you're saying mixed use in what type of retail and what is it retail?
So we would propose in the front of the main building some kind of retail use, cafe, restaurant, things of that nature.
How many?
Chris, how much space do we have?
Maybe three or four students. They were very small.
Right. Eateries.
Okay. Or retail level shop.
I have one question is, one of the benefits of some of these projects appears to me is that for the community in general, we're looking for ways to expand our season or put a shoulder season in. And I wonder if anything that you can do with this particular site can help us add the shoulder season in for the community itself and make this a destination so when people come back on weekends, they have a place to come and it's their home. Our industry is the second home market to begin with. but it's also, we all live here because it's a resort. It's our home. So how can we make it more fun and enjoyable? And I think that's, if you can consider that in the plan, they're the kind of things that I really think would benefit the community.
We'll just throw everything at you and then you pick the best stuff.
I'm only asking the impossible, so don't worry about it.
I'll go back to my question. You answered it about the retail. Now, the residential part, who are you gearing that towards?
So in our mind, there's a couple ways to go town home route. So, occupation of town homes, and if you have a new building, you have really, then.
Can you use the mic? Yeah, let's get up to the microphone.
Yeah, absolutely. Please. So we haven't landed on a specific residential use. It could obviously be townhomes. It could be a combination of townhomes and maybe a building with condo units. We do know we want to keep the front building with office, commercial, you know, type of users. We'd like to introduce a co-working space. We've gotten a lot of emails from folks asking about that. A fitness use in there would be a good use as well. And then obviously to our point of some cafes. If they were townhomes, they would likely, you know, probably be second home buyers. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Well, you've mentioned before about the possibility of investigating rentals. Is that off the table or still on the table?
Potentially. I mean, that's our, in Philadelphia, our primary business is rentals. We own about 1,000 apartment units. So that's our normal core business. It's certainly not off the table. This is just such a strong for sale market. It's hard to ignore that. And the challenge you have in a market like this, where it's a for sale market, you don't have quote unquote rent comps where you could go to a bank and be like, hey, we could get this much for a one bed or this much for a two bed. Yeah. So it shockingly is more challenging to finance, whereas usually rental housing is easier to finance.
I know you had expertise in that. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really interesting to do that. I just, you know, in this instance, it may not be the highest and best use of this site.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
I'm bouncing off the Jay. He's trying to extend the season. Mm-hmm. We're going to a residential secondary that will disappear. Is there any concern with that? Knowing that you're putting retail downstairs, you're going to have residential part-time upstairs. Consideration to another way of, you know, full-time.
We would keep the buildings would be all resident, would be all retail and office. We wouldn't make the building residential. We would build residential on the balance of the site that's now vacant. So, yeah. Yeah, I think we want to, by investing in the existing building, we think we can attract more interesting users into the building, like a co-working space, fitness use. Can we lure other medical uses that aren't AtlantiCare, who've obviously left? And by making the building more attractive in interior and exterior, we think we'll be able to do that. And that'll bring, obviously, more life to the site.
I have a great name for a restaurant.
Okay.
Five Alarm Chili.
There you go.
I got to just have a couple comments if I can just pop in. I think if I could zoom back out a little bit and you look at Ventnor 6-8 years ago, it was a drive through town, and I did a drive from Jackson Avenue and I started counting empty storefronts, and I was around 50 or 60 storefronts, and then I got to your building and I stopped counting because I looked at it and I said, there's got to be 100 in there. And this is smart design. This is design that is meant, that is driven by users, not by some artificial thought process. This is because what works in a seaside community is residential and attractive downtowns. So the notion that this could have cafes, which restaurants are one of the only things that are impervious to online retail.
Yeah.
Small specialty shops. I think co-working is a small version of that, is an untapped resource in this area. I think there are people that want to come and get out of their small homes in Longport or away from their families and have a place to have high fidelity Wi-Fi and work on a long weekend. And those people are going to want to go to those restaurants. And now you're developing something that has, which is a gateway. And this is Ventnor. This is our first impression. You know, this is what people are going to drive through and decide whether they're going to invest or they're going to go keep driving and invest somewhere else. And yes, there's going to be parking problems, and yes, there may be congestion, but these are problems that every city has. It has more cars and people than we do have land. And we all struggle with that. I sometimes have to park 4 blocks away from my house on some weekends. It's part of what we absorb by living in this community. But with the growing costs of all the other things that happen in the city environment, this is an opportunity to really improve our ratables as well. And it's not all about ratables, but sometimes it doesn't hurt.
Yep.
So I'm going to go back. I'm sorry.
No.
Just because I ride my bike around. Mm-hmm. It's usually dark. Coming from Longport down Margate, you hit the Castles area. Bang. It's lit up. It's very attractive.
Yep.
You want to go and shop. Yep. You want to go get something. When you see things lit up, you really, really want to stop, see what it's all about. The other thing is that we're eventually going to get a bike lane on Ventnor Avenue.
Oh, great.
And hopefully, with Tim's help, it'll be green.
Yeah.
It's more
like, I agree.
And that's a stopping point for people riding their bikes, not only on the boardwalk, because we don't have any retail on the boardwalk.
Yep.
We do have it. Tiny bit on Atlantic, but Ventnor Avenue would be wide open for that. That's enough.
Yeah, and to your point, we've engaged a landscape firm to really conceptualize the building, and lighting that thing up is going to be a major part of the aesthetic, because that thing lit up at night will look great. Yeah, I mean, I think it's been there since 1940. It's a part of the community. It's a pretty building. It just hasn't been touched since the 80s when these guys acquired it from the city and turned it into office. And so if you walk in there, I don't know if any of you have been in recently, it looks the same as it did in 1984. You know, it's beige on beige on beige on beige. And, you know, the landscaping is well kept, but it's, you know, it's really dated. And so I think if you can take something that's been there and that people have fond memories of, I mean, there's a lot of people that have gone to school there. My cousin went to school there, and I think that it'll be a perfect blend of old and new, and you know, that's our real business, is restoring old buildings. And so we wouldn't want to tear that front building down. It's too important of an anchor there, and you couldn't put something back as nice.
I think this site is a perfect site for something with imagination, mixing the high technology of today with the architecture of the old and the ancient. And making this an event, something that you want to go to, rather than, and that's the case, change it up so it's different, it's refreshing.
Yep.
I think that's what you got to look at here.
Absolutely. And,
make it somewhere. It's different. You say, make your signature to it. And the Plaza is doing that. They came through, and they're pouring, and they've done it.
It looks great over there.
And they've done things that are needed. I think you're the man to do it.
I think just the input, just the fact that you're listening to anybody that has any input is a compliment to what you may want to do. Because when you listen, you may learn something that you may not have thought of.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I had a question just to clarify. So there's the two different buildings. Is the intent for the one on Troy Ave to be residential, and then the one facing Ventnor to be...
So Ventnor definitely remains office, and then we want to be able to put
that's all office
with retail, and then Troy is TBD. That building is in the flood zone. I don't believe the Ventnor Ave is, and so Troy has some challenges. It's also the layout's not the best, but the front building, absolutely, the retail on the first floor on the front, and then office above.
Okay.
All I can say is, if we want all this innovation to happen, we really have to vote to make this a redevelopment meeting. So we should proceed with that.
You may want to listen to the public first.
As that says, you're complete. Why don't we open to the public at this point in time? I know we have a gentleman waiting here. Wait, sir, would you please come forward and give us a state your name?
Just, you don't need to be sworn, just give us your name and address.
All right, my name's Tom Hunter.
And I lived on Troy Avenue for about, off and on for 40 years.
Wow.
So, now, the first we heard of, or I ever heard about this, was from the guy that lives behind the drugstore. He said they're trying to build more housing on the redevelopment area. Now, parking is a problem on Troy Avenue, just to begin with, because it's the beach park, almost. Now, putting more people in this area is going to cause a real problem. Everybody I talk to in on the street never even knew anything about it. I didn't know anything about it the last week. I came here from home in Philly to just say, hey, I want to be, I think the people on Troy and Richard should be consulted more. I was consulted about somebody putting a porch on the property, which you guys voted okay on. But out of anybody within 200 feet or something, I'm not sure. Does anybody know that? Has to be notified. Yeah. This is a big project, as far as I can see. You want to tear down the whole place and replace it with housing, more housing.
No, they're not going to tear down the whole place.
That's what I think is going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Well, I'm not sure. But I just had to take my piece, and
Tom, you know
hopefully
what?
You'll listen.
Hey, Tom, you know what?
Where are you guys at? Where?
Right here.
So you're further away. Right?
Hey, Tom?
You can't get much closer than me. Right?
Hey, Tom.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute, Tom. Tom, thank you for voicing your opinion, first of all.
I can't hear.
I said, thank you for voicing your opinion and coming up here and telling us what you thought. I appreciate that greatly. And I'm saying thank you. And I want to tell you that this board does take into consideration the neighbors. And you raised a good question, and we're going to ask them. Thank you.
Well, I think we have more people than just me.
We'd like to talk to them. We don't do anything in the dark here. Would anyone else like to make some comment, please? With that case, I guess we're finished the answers. Do we, Jim, is there anything further to add on this project?
Nothing else.
We have to go for a vote. I'm sorry. Does everyone understand the three criteria? And Jim, for the board's purposes, from even my question is, you look at these criteria, you examine them and so on. Are these classic, and is there such significant proof that you can overwhelmingly say, there's no question, the city meets those criteria?
Yeah, in my professional opinion, this project, this parcel, clearly meets the redevelopment criteria.
Because I value your opinion, because you've always proved it every time. Board members, you have any questions?
I do. Can I ask Jim one more question?
You ask any way you want.
How many steps does it, if we're voting tonight, how many more steps is it after this?
What will happen after this is later this month, the commissioners will accept your opinion and designate this as a redevelopment area. That decision then goes to DCA for review. Once it's approved, the applicant can make a application for the redevelopment plan that goes to the commissioners for introduction. It comes to you for consistency with the master plan, and then it goes back to the commissioners for their approval. Then it'll come back to you as a site plan. So there's at least four other steps in the process.
All right, Tom, did you understand if we vote on this tonight, this is not the end all? Do you understand that? We're going to take a vote tonight.
Yes.
I want you to understand, because I'm not sure if you listened to everything they said. We're going to vote on this tonight, but it's only one of many steps in order for this to be passed. Do you understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do. But they're going to notify everyone. This is just one little part of the puzzle.
Get it.
Well, so we're clear. We haven't seen a thing yet as far as the plant. The city hasn't seen the plant. It's going to go through five steps, including the state of New Jersey. We got to jump. They got to jump over hoops and whistle everything. This is not treated lightly. So you can't stop something. We can't stop anything until we know what's actually going to happen. And that's all it's going to be here. So this is the first of many steps with a lot of eyes. Hundreds of eyes are going to be looking at that within the community and in the state.
I just want
that's
to
it. Oh, and in the state. And that's the process. So it's a long, arduous process. And I'm telling you that. And we're just the first step in saying, go look at it. That's what this vote is about tonight.
And the fact that you came here tonight to express your opinion, you can come to every step of the way to express your opinion. And maybe you'll get an answer that is good for both sides of the, you know, both sides.
So we change, or rather the back of the residential building.
No.
No.
So it's already zoned.
It's already zoned.
It's zoned business and residential both.
Mixed use.
So let me just, for maybe this will clarify it. If you look at the entire city, the city is broken down into different zones. We have commercial, we have residential, we have mixed use. Every zone is a zone for everything. The purpose of tonight is to allow really the zoning change. There's no plan in place as to what they're going to do. They have to present to us. And if we don't like it, we'll say, no, go back to the drawing board. You maybe have too much residential, not enough residential, too much commercial. So this is a very long process. And all we're here to do tonight is to listen to the professional who does studies on these kinds of neighborhoods and buildings and will tell us what is the best use for that neighborhood. And in all probability, it would in fact affect your real estate value, probably in a positive way. So that's another way of
our role tonight is we have a resolution in front of us, resolution 49 that I've distributed, that simply recommends that the governing body declare this particular property, block 123, lot 1, 6601 Ventnor Avenue, which we've called the Ventnor Professional Campus Study Area, an area in a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment under the New Jersey's redevelopment law. So we're recommending, per Jim set forth eight criteria that you only have to meet one. Jim Rattel's opinion is it met three. And our sole role tonight is to recommend to the governing body that they declare this property a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment. That's the first step.
That's all we're doing. So with that, okay, let's proceed.
I think the best I've given everyone, if we're at that point, resolution 49, which essentially says that the planning board recommends that the governing body, the city of Ventnor, determine that this property is a non-condemnation area and redeveloped. And typically we'd maybe vote and adopt the resolution next time. But I have the resolution here so we can move that, adopt it, because they meet next week. So we wanted to get that over to them.
Now, we are prepared for a vote right now. And do you have to frame any more than any other resolution?
No, I think we need a motion and a second to approve resolution number 49-2023.
I'll make the motion. Have a second. Now, do we have to do a roll call vote?
No, because the reasons are already set forth.
All those in favor? Those opposed? The ayes have it. The resolution is hereby adopted.
So we'll transmit this over to Carmel. We'll translate the signed resolution with Jim's plan to get it to Lisa Hand, and we'll see it again at another time. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's playing it accurate. So that's a little silence.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fine, but really, he could, his own there. He could, if he wanted to, he could put one of the
rules.
And I don't believe this is parking lot. Every other street better.
It's not.
It's not.
This is playing.
No, people don't have a street.
It's not for me.
Yes. But if you took it, they would all be on second.
They could make someplace. I think four here.
And they
absolutely no, you're right. You were here when they pulled the
they have to say abundant. It's not just
we do live, it's really
silly. Right.
Yeah,
it was even smaller than that.
This is the knowledge I need, right? And any recommendation you want to make,
gentlemen,
thank
you. Dan, we've got to proceed with the next application. Gentlemen, and by the way, Tom, thank you. Thank you for spending our time with us. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next application is a, this is a master plan consistency review for a redevelopment plan for the Wellington Avenue area.
Can you explain, first of all, what the board has to find before you explain that?
I will.
Okay.
This, as we just talked, there's obviously various phases. This project came before the planning board in 2018. For an area in need of redevelopment designation, which you just did for the other parcel.
Right.
So that part of this process is done. Right. So they're now in the redevelopment phase. And this plan was introduced by the commissioners. It comes before the planning board for a review that is consistent with the master plan. That's really the limited factor that you're reviewing today, because the commissioners are really the redevelopment agency. In the city of Ventnor. So they make the decisions for redevelopment. So this application, once it's reviewed by you, and if it's found to be consistent, we'll go back to the commissioners for their action. And again, it'll come back to you as a site plan for your review at a later date. So there's going to be another action by the planning board on this application as well. So at this point, I'll turn it over to the applicant to explain the project.
May I ask one question, Jim?
Yes.
Who was what company introduced? Was it introduced the was the introducing company at that time?
It was a different applicant at the time. Yeah, I don't know how.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't Blueberry something, was it?
I do not know.
Okay. Sure.
Good evening, Chair.
Good evening.
And members of the board. My name is Danielle Kimback. I'm an attorney at Prime and Tuvel. I'm here on behalf of the owner of the property, Ventnor Holdings, LLC. As Mr. Rotella explained, we're here for a review for consistency with the master plan. Within Mr. Rotella's redevelopment plan that he prepared, there's entire sections devoted to analyzing that consistency with some goals. Do you want to present that part of your report? Or?
I will.
Okay. All right. So I will leave that for him to address after we present. So the property owner has owned the property for about 10 years. And 10 years ago, they subdivided it. So now they only own one of the lots that's part of the redevelopment plan. The other lot that would be subject to the redevelopment plan is the Dollar General. The owner has been actively trying to get a retailer or some commercial use interested in the property, but nothing's been able to come to fruition with the underlying zoning and also with the shopping center next door kind of offering a more attractive option for the tenants that they're both seeking with the property. So we've been working with the council and the town to come up with a plan to revitalize this property that's been underutilized and currently is contributing nothing to the community as it's been vacant for a very long time. So with me tonight to present what, if the plan is adopted, what kind of development we would proceed to bring to site plan, I have Steve Yanowitz, a member of the owner, and I have our civil engineer, Michaela McGuire. So I can bring them up to get sworn.
Please.
Okay, come up, guys.
And could you state your name again, please?
Michaela McGuire. I work at Stonefield Engineering and Design.
Okay.
Steven Yanowitz, the applicant, Penner Holdings. I'm a partner.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure we need sworn testimony. In your experience, for hearing like this, you want sworn testimony? It doesn't matter to me. I can swear.
Okay. We don't make an error.
All right. You both stated your name and addresses to the record. If you can come up, just please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yeah. Stephen Yanowitz, 141 Ayers Court, Teaneck, New Jersey.
And you're a civil engineer, correct?
Any places in the state of New Jersey?
So, Ms. McGuire, she's passed the PE exam. She's been waiting months for the state to process the paperwork to actually issue the license.
Okay.
But this is not a formal site plan with a stormwater or traffic, so I don't think you need a license professional. But she has a civil engineering degree. She's passed the PE exam, and she's been working on these plans.
Okay. But she's waiting for the issue of the license.
Yes.
That's it. That's fine.
Thank you.
Why don't you bring it a little closer to the board so everybody can see it? And when you're talking, please use the mic in your hand. That way, everybody it picks up better. If you want to hum a few songs,
is there a button to turn this on?
Yes, it should be right there on the side.
No. Then we have a karaoke contest.
Hello. Yeah.
You have to hold it in.
So.
Thank you.
Perfect.
So I can start with the aerial exhibit that our office put together. This site is located at 4900 Wellington Avenue.
We'll just mark this A1.
Block 303, lot 2.01. It's currently located right along this commercial corridor, basically right as you enter the city. It's really the second, you know, property along Wellington, second building that you would be seeing as you're coming in here. It's surrounded by commercial properties, as I mentioned, and then the remainder of the area around it is really environmental, wetlands, this marsh area that is across Wellington, and then also in the rear of the property. So as mentioned previously, the site was used as a Dollar General, currently vacant. The site is open. Almost entirely covered with impervious coverage. So anything that's not a building right now is basically fully paved asphalt used as an area. As part of the proposed submission, which I will pull up, we are looking to improve the line for the redevelopment the condition regarding the coverage, but then also the stormwater, landscaping, lighting, these gaps, that's really anything to improve the general characteristic of the site as it is, you know, one of the first buildings you see as you come in.
Can we just mark this A2? So this, there's a existing conditions aerial and overlaid is the conceptual site plan, which conforms with the proposed redevelopment plan. And what use is proposed for the site?
Yep, so under the proposed conditions, the four-story
self-storage facility. And then in addition, we do have an outdoor storage parking that's located in the rear, partially along the side, the side of the site. Access is proposed via one full movement driveway along Wellington Avenue that will be subject to county approval. And then we're also maintaining the existing crawl access to the adjacent property, which is to the left or the west of the site. We're proposing 23 parking spaces in the front of the site. One of the advantages of the self-storage use is it's a really low activity use. So parking, noise, general activity on the site is pretty low. So the parking, the reduction in parking does really help us open up this front area along Wellington to add more pervious coverage, which helps with stormwater. And then we also have room to add, landscaping. Again, this is, one of the main entrance points. And then for the outdoor storage, proposing 31 spaces, the majority of that is in the rear of the site, so it will be buffered by the building. And then as part of the redevelopment plan, we are required to propose an 8-foot solid fence surrounding the entire storage area. So any of the parking spaces that aren't buffered by the building will be buffered by that 8-foot solid fence. Last thing we wanted to show just for visual representation was the rendering that we put together. I marked this A3.
A3, thank you.
Which I do want to note, this rendering doesn't show on the buffer this left side here, again, just to show where this drive island that would be buffered by a gate and a fence. And then regarding the building, I know the architect went through a couple iterations of this. We did look at the adjacent areas, the adjacent shopping center that I know is being redeveloped, and there's a couple new buildings there. So we did look at that just to fit into the general characteristic with the colors, with the glass. So we wanted to make sure this fit in the community and it was something the city is looking for. I think that's the general overview.
Yeah, thank you.
Could I have a question? What vantage point is this from? Where am I standing seeing this view of the building? Looking.
You're on Atlantic City side.
On the Atlantic City side.
Right. You can tell by the trees.
Southeast.
Right.
So the adjacent building.
Existing building because the lot line actually runs right. Yeah. So. Oh, you okay? So everything from the lot line over, yes, will be renovated.
Occupy the building so they subdivide it. And I know that it's difficult because of the storm damage from Sandy caused at that time. The floor collapsed, it was a bunch of stuff. It was unfortunate.
Very impressive. That's a great memory because that was a while back. So, we would take down the building, okay. That half of it. The contamination is delineated, so we would either remove it or fully cap it. Either way, we would handle that. But, yeah.
But that was, Dollar General just said about.
Yeah, correct. Very impressive, yeah.
Now, the building wasn't described. How high or how big? How high is this building going to be? What's the size of the building?
Square feet.
So it's 30K. What's the dimensions roughly you get? 60 by 200. And now, what's this inside? What's the ceiling heights in there?
Typically, the first ones are on 7 feet. The first one requires the loading area that is internal.
Yeah, because you're going to have to build up for FEMA for flood. So your base elevation is going to be meet the flood, your base plus freeboard. And you always build a little bit more than that just because things change.
Well, they have to flood proof it.
Right, exactly.
Correct.
Will you have commercial in this as well?
No.
No commercial?
The only sales here will be for boxes or locks.
Okay. In other words, it's supplies or packing.
So, yeah, and supplies.
Yeah, products. Okay.
So how will they load into the building? Is there a designated driveway into the space and they would load and unload in the building itself?
Correct. So this darker gray attached box on the side of the building is the loading area. So there's four 40-foot long loading spaces, and a vehicle would basically pull down this grab aisle and then back into any one of those four spaces.
Do you have freight elevators in it?
Okay. Dollies
so,
and then dollies to get throughout the building, right?
Now, is this brand building going to be fire suppressed? Do you have to fire suppress this building?
Or say again?
Are you required to put
fire? Yeah, suppress? Absolutely. Okay.
So,
yeah, so this is going to be 100% climate controlled.
Really?
Yeah, this will all be indoors. There won't be any even drive-up units just because of the elevations and getting above the base flood here. So this is going to be a Class A, fully climate-controlled.
So are you going to be doing a pricing increase because it's all climate-controlled? Because there's always an increase for that.
It'll be a little higher than non-climate-controlled units.
But compared to what's offshore climate-controlled, be less?
Compared to what's... It will be within market.
Okay, you'll be within market. At least.
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering if it'd be less than that, but it's a great idea. Great idea.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm looking, well, photograph your head up. I'm looking at it here. It appears to be fairly attractive building. Am I seeing like this is all clear glass? Is that what the vision is?
Yeah, so we would have display doors here, but yeah, that is all clear glass.
It's puzzling. It's storage. I don't imagine there's anything too attractive looking inside. So if you made it tinted glass, then you got like a cube. So to me, that would take away any kind of aesthetic value. Just an observation, because it looks great here, but I don't think...
Lorraine, I've seen a bunch of these projects with the glass, and they look fantastic. The idea is to make it look more like an office building.
We're not.
Well, I'm just telling you my opinion and what I've seen and what I'm thinking. So just as a point of information.
I had a question too.
I guess it was my understanding that the Dollar General would remain the same exact building. So you have this kind of attractive building storage facility, actually looks quite nice, but then you look at the Dollar General. So is that going to be improved or?
We don't own that property, so that's not part of our concept plan. That property will be subject to the redevelopment plan. So they redevelop pursuant to any of the uses in there.
That's going to look a little silly if you have this nice attractive building and then you have the Dollar General that has zero windows. It's basically just a block. It's block walls. It's a block rectangle next to this storage facility.
And the vantage is when you're driving into the city, you're going to see the new building and that facade. And if you're coming up from the other way, the Dollar General is kind of tucked in and you have the shopping center.
Just so my bearings, can you point to the Dollar General? That's the Dollar General.
Let's get these straight.
In the sub,
they don't own the Dollar General.
Right between.
This hiring has no jurisdiction on the Dollar General.
But Jim, am I correct that the Dollar General property is part of this redevelopment plan, or am I wrong about that?
It's a separate parcel.
It's a separate parcel, but is it within this redevelopment?
No.
I think it's lots 2.01 and 2.02. Okay.
Right.
Exactly. So the hearing tonight is on this plan, not on the Dollar General. Somebody is going to...
You also go into the other lot, the adjacent lot. The other concept.
Yeah, so my understanding is this redevelopment plan covers what a redevelopment plan does is it sets forth, you know, you have all your districts with what you can do within each district. The redevelopment plan carves out certain properties and kind of sets its own zoning controls. So this applies to both properties that they're sort of here on an informal basis saying, look, this is our property, and within this redevelopment plan, this is kind of what we're proposing. You're probably going to see it again as part of a site plan, but we're here now showing you kind of informally, which we don't always get necessarily.